Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Time to talk about Republicans in Michigan. They got creamed in November of 2022. No, the election wasn't stolen. The machines didn't steal anything. Is there irregularities with the machines? Yes. Is there irregularities with ballots and the way things are done? Yes. Is there cheating that goes on? Yes. All of those things. But in this particular case, the margins were so wide, it just revealed one important thing, that more than a million people that voted for Donald Trump in 2020 in Michigan didn't show up to vote at all in 2022. Joining me here to discuss it, Tom Norton, National Director for the America First PAC. Tom, how are you?
Doing great, Steve.
All right. So where am I wrong so far?
Well, so far you've pretty well nailed it. There is election fraud. There has been for years, all the way back into the 1840s. I mean, the Democrats used to bring Irish off the boats and get them to vote for Democrats. You can only push election fraud to about a 2-3% margin before people start going to jail, as we've seen in the past in Southfield, Michigan, with different clerks going to jail for tampering with ballots and trying to change outcomes of elections. And so when you have a candidate who's blown out of the water by 14-15% for Secretary of State, no, it was, you were not in fact elected, you lost because you ran a horrible campaign. That would be logical reasoning. But some in the party just have lost all sense of reality.
Well, and I hear all of this about, you know, the grassroots wants this, and the grassroots got what they wanted. They got their candidate in Michigan in the 3rd Congressional District. They got their candidates for the Attorney General. They got their candidates for Secretary of State, as you just pointed out. They got the candidates they wanted, did the grassroots. How'd that work out?
Didn't work out very well because the grassroots didn't want to donate their own money.
That's right, and I think a lot of those grassroots people, while bumping their gums and pontificating a lot, again, I don't think they voted, a lot of them, yes or no?
I think you're right there as well. A lot of them just stayed home. If you look at the numbers, the Democrats were able to maintain ballot numbers to presidential levels. The Republicans were not and remotely able to do that because the candidates that were put up did not inspire the entire ballot or the entire electorate. I mean, the one that came closest to winning statewide was Matt DiPerno, and he ended up actually outraising the other two statewide candidates and spending a little bit more money on there.
Well, he didn't outraise Dixon for governor, but he outraised the other two.
You are correct. I'm talking about down ballot. You are right.
I know what you mean. I just want to clarify that. And that's, you know, that's just the fact. And look, they can sit there, they can attack Betsy DeVos. She's a rhino. And there's a, well, let me tell you something. The job of the chair, Christina Caramo wanted to be chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Okay. Grassroots got their wish again. And she lost, like you said, by what, 15 points in the race to be Secretary of State. I mean, it was the widest blowout in the election. The election wasn't stolen. She got creamed. So the number one job of the chair of the RNC at the state level or the national level is to raise money. That's your job, to raise money so you can infuse cash into races that you might find to be winnable, say a statewide race for an open Senate seat. But in this particular case, Michigan's Republican Party has no money. I don't know that Christina Caramo can raise much money at all, and that would be very disheartening. It just means that the destruction of the Michigan Republican Party, which began under the previous people in charge, make no mistake, and I hold them very accountable for that, but it will be complete now. Am I right or wrong?
You're right on that as well. I mean, I believe we ran into each other at CPAC. I went there to help Caramo raise money, and she rejected meetings that would raise money because she was concerned that there might be strings attached. I can tell you that two of those meetings, there were no strings attached.
It's politics. It's politics, Tom. Of course there's strings attached. It's called politics. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. You want to win some statewide races? Let me help you. Yeah, there's some things that we have an interest in votes going a certain way. But the idea, but this has driven me crazy. I sort of get this off my chest.
There's a few of these people that easily would write massive checks to the Michigan Republican Party, but they would like to have somebody on the Finance Committee to sit there to oversee where the money's spent. I don't think that's unreasonable when you're talking about people investing $5 or $10 million to put somebody on the Finance Committee to oversee it. If roles were reversed, they would absolutely want the same thing. But if you want this type of chair, and this is what you wanted and what you voted for, then you should be donating to the Michigan Republican Party. I actually helped her get elected, and when she walked away from the fundraising meetings, I sat there and I told somebody, I was like, man, I was drastically wrong, because I was under the impression that she would take donor meetings too far as to raise money to win. The job is to elect Republicans. Right now, she's starting to look like, as a chair, that she's going to bust her hind end to elect Democrats. I mean, the Democrats are getting ready to probably infuse an extra $4 million here next year because she closed down the headquarters and moved all the presidents of the Michigan Republican Party to a UPS store on Alpine Avenue in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I mean, that's a message that we're a party closed for business, not one open for business.
Absolutely right. That's exactly what it says. Closed because you have no money. You're broke. Oh, we're going to decentralize. That's because you're broke and you don't know what you're doing. Once again, you bring in people that have no idea what they're doing and expect them to do well. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Tom Norton with me, National Director of the America First PAC. You know, and I find it laughable. You know, anybody that doesn't agree with one point, you're a rhino. You know, I see this with the only Trumpers a lot. You're a rhino. Yeah, Gruber's a rhino. Ron DeSantis is a rhino. Really? Yeah. Based on what exactly? By attacking the woke agenda every step of the way? And then Betsy Ross, you know, they're establishment rhinos. What part of Betsy DeVos's agenda do people not like is the fact that she's for schools of choice, secure borders, gun rights, lower taxes, less government? Where exactly is she this rhino?
I think their thing is she won't write a blank check, let them insult her at the same time, and then not question and just give them money with no question.
Right.
That's basically what the definition of a rhino is nowadays. I mean, somebody goes, well, what did you guys accomplish the 10 years before we were involved? Well, I'll let you know what we passed. We expanded school choice. We passed right to work. We did like CPS reform, charitable gaming. I just started listing it, and they stare at you funny like, wait, what? You were doing stuff? Yes, we were doing stuff. Where the heck were you? We've been busy. So if we're rhinos because we actually want to accomplish something, I'm guilty, you're guilty, we are all guilty as charged because we want to get stuff done and actually defeat socialists and the woke agenda going on across the United States. They seem to want to scream, shout, hoop, and holler and actually accomplish nothing. They spend more time attacking Republicans that are trying to get the vaccine choice than attacking the Democrats trying to take that choice away.
Exactly right. So how do you get it back? I mean, let's start with the state, Tom. I don't know how you get it back in control. I don't even know if you can.
I think what it's going to be is a lot of shadow organizations like ours. Next week, we're going to be launching out the state chapter of the America First PAC. We have multiple chapters going out. When I went to D.C., the meetings that Caramo rejected, I went ahead and signed the contracts for some of the funding for going out, getting ballot collection done, putting drop boxes at churches, the legal ballot collections that we can actually do, according to Prop 2, that Caramo walked away from. We went ahead and signed that contract with Rethink GOP. And we got a couple big donor companies coming on board and restarting the donor calls to try to raise the money to make up for the failures in the Michigan Republican Party. I mean, we may be going down, but we're not going to go down without a complete fight. I mean, she is going to be the party of surrender because she's not going to be able to even afford to send a text message out for candidates. But at least there's some independent standing committees like ours and a few others that are going to at least say, well, hopefully we can make it through, and hopefully we get a U.S. Senate candidate that can raise $30 to $40 million to help
who's on
save
the
party down ballot.
Who's on your list?
The people on my list right now for the U.S. Senate, I haven't seen anybody that's actually looking or formed the exploratory committee that I think can raise the money. I mean, I ran against Peter Meyer, but if he were to hop in, I think he could raise the money. But, I mean, we have a couple issues we disagree on, but we might have to settle on a couple things in order to win down ballot.
Peter Meyer is the only guy who can go statewide, I think. We agree on that. I would bet Peter Meyer would like to have that one vote back, his first one, because it didn't do any good, and he can say that he stood on principle. It was a meaningless vote that did nothing besides destroy his ability to run for Senate now.
Yeah, and it also is that's what opened up like primary challenges with me and I, with him and I running against each other for a while there. And that's what opened it up to a lot of it.
Well, so and then he ultimately lost the primary challenge, yep. and we know what happened there. All right. Tom, well, I got to leave it right there. Tom Norton, National Director yep. for the America First PAC. Greatly appreciate you being here.
You too. God bless.
All right. We'll see if that if Tom can help rally the troops. We'll see. We'll see. All right, I'll take a break here for the rest of the day, in fact. That's it. That's all I got. Go check out SteveGruber.com. SteveGruber.com. Find out more. Support the people that support me. And I'll support you, and I'll see you next time here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. It's against my religion. I'm giving my dog a bath. You can have pictures of that. Pressure gives me hives. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. Hold on. Let me ask my mom. Sorry, my webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. Unfortunately, I just had my clothes surgically attached to my body. If they got out, I might never be president. I'm already naked, under my clothes. Not even if you were all three Jonas Brothers. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. The more you ask, the less I want to. You're not the boss of me. Nudity makes me vomit. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.